All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Love me cancerously, like the salt sore soaked in the sea. High maintenance means you're a gluttonous queen, narcissistic and mean.
Hear that music?
I do.
That's Ludo.
You're obsessed.
So what?
All right.
It's a good obsession. This is track one off of their album, You're Awful, I Love You, the band Ludo, L-U-D-O, and the track is called Love Me Dead.
How's the rest of the album?
It's good.
Okay.
I'm surprised that it's as good as it is.
Wow.
And I haven't liked a new band in quite some time, and I really like this one. Let me tell you a little story.
All right.
I'm in Best Buy Billy.
Yep.
Waiting online. They have those TVs.
Uh-huh.
They're playing random shit on the TVs.
Right.
They're playing the video.
Okay.
I guess Ludo is part of their Find 'Em First thing where they like find the bands and they put them on their website.
Right.
BestBuy.com/Ludo.
Okay.
Where you can see behind the scenes footage and learn more about the band. So they're playing this video for this song, Love Me Dead.
All right.
Best music video I've ever seen.
It's good. I'll give you that.
It's awesome.
I liked it.
I think we got to get more information on these guys. I'm going to try to
We're branching out. This has become a musical podcast?
This is our musical segment.
Oh, okay.
This is our
We have
new,
a musical segment each and every week.
Musical segment, yes. And 12 tracks on the album. And I'm very excited. It's a catchy tune. And I think
it is a catchy tune.
I think it's going to catch on a lot.
So. All right.
That's just what I think.
Okay. That's fine.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Oh, that's right. We're doing a show.
Episode 96.
Wow.
Ludo is the title.
It's not No One Knows What OG Stands For. I feel a little unloved. I'm not going to lie.
No one knew what OG stood for?
Not one person
in our
knew
contest?
What it, nope.
Not one person?
Got a bunch of funny answers.
Oh, no the one funny knew. Ones are no the one funny knew ones are probably good.
The right answer.
You shouldn't feel bad, though, that they didn't know.
I should feel good?
Yeah, because the real thing that OG does stand for is a lot worse than most of the farcical answers that people put out there and sent an email.
That is really true. I'd actually like to petition maybe the courts at some point to maybe change what it actually stands for.
What can you give us some of the funny answers that we got?
Oh geez.
Well, we should say the funniest.
We'll actually
winner.
Talk about those later when we talk
right.
about the winners.
Oh well, why don't we just talk? Why don't we just say the winners now?
Because I don't remember some of the other ones off the top of my head. Why don't you let me be able to look them up? Be nice.
You want me to give you a slide here?
Yeah,
you should at least announce the winner.
Okay. Well, we only have a winner for part of it.
I know. That's okay.
Okay.
We can announce that winner.
All right.
It's Anthony from Long Island.
It is Anthony. Well, because now let me explain Anthony from Long Island submission. A bunch of you did send in lists of funny answers, which was good, and I appreciate that very much. But Anthony from Long Island, he went above and beyond the normal charge.
Oh, he did?
He created an image to go along with his answer.
A sig pic.
Which really, I think really solidified the.
You think that was
him in the winner spot? I think the pick was the solidification.
Are they looking at that? Well, as soon as you announce what he said, I think
they could
probably
be looking at that pick.
Probably see that pick, yeah.
All right, so what he said was original Geekster, G-E-E-K-S-T-E-R.
Right.
Which is kind of funny, kind of silly,
OG.
Right? OG. But the image is a Photoshop. It's a clever Photoshop.
Okay.
It's like a pimp. But with my head on it.
Right.
And a little brown coat patch on the pimp's jacket.
That's interesting.
It's funny. I laughed.
Well, obviously.
I found it very humorous.
Why we chose that as the winner.
So congratulations, Anthony from Long Island.
Anthony
for
from
going
Long Island.
Above and beyond.
Yes,
the
above
normal
and beyond.
Charge.
That's right. And this week's trivia question.
Ooh.
For a pair.
That's
of
right.
tickets
to New York Comic Con.
New York Comic Con, which is coming up April 18th through the 20th.
Correct.
We will give that during the wrap-up
Ooh,
portion.
Look at us.
Of the program today.
Important announcement about New York Comic Con. We will be guests.
That's what I hear. We were guests this past weekend at Monster Mania.
We were guests at Monster Mania.
MonsterMania.net. If you missed their big 10th show, it's Monster Mania X, it was. What?
Oh, no, I was... Go ahead.
Were you going to say we had a good time?
I was going to say not only did we have a good time, but we should say thank you to all the fans that found us.
That's true, and there were a lot of them, and
there
so
were.
Thank you very much.
Surprisingly enough at Monster Mania.
We have a following.
I know we do. It's
kind of crazy. At Monster Mania.
Apparently we have a following everywhere.
Apparently.
People calling us out of a crowd and whatnot.
That was pretty funny, that
was
stuff.
Pretty funny.
Yes, so Monster Mania, and we will be attending the next Monster Mania.
We will.
We can start promoting that right now.
When is that? Is it
next? August.
Is it next April?
No. It's
or
August.
March or whatever the hell
I
month
think
we're
it's,
in?
It's August.
It's August? Oh, okay,
yeah.
Great.
Don't know anything about it except that I think we'll be there.
Okay.
And we may be at Chiller.
That show is going to outgrow that space if it hasn't already.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah,
it's pretty close.
They'll have to start spreading it around a little.
Something.
I think they could still stay there. They
lovely location.
It is.
Just the crowds were.
Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Were, tremendous.
What's that hotel there?
The Crown Plaza
Crown
Hotel.
Crown Plaza Hotel, Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
That's right. Right on 70, right?
Right, 70. If you want more information about the Monster Mania shows, you can go to MonsterMania.net, of course.
Right.
And we're going to play a little special little thing we got.
Ooh, in segment
at
two,
at Monster
right?
Mania. I think that's segment two.
I think that's segment two.
There's also the rumor that Micabus Prime may be stopping by with a special report on a topic that is close to him.
He might be.
And no, it is not the Transformers.
I know.
Isn't that something?
That is crazy insane.
But we're very excited about it, so we hope that happens. But let's move ahead with the news.
Okay, let's. Not a lot this week. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I should say that there was a bunch for this week, but then I got called into jury duty.
Jury duty?
Yeah.
Who'd you let loose?
A fine, upstanding citizen of Irvington, New Jersey.
What was his name?
I'm not going to say that.
Oh.
I'm not at liberty to discuss
to
discuss the case.
I see. But you found that he was not guilty.
Unanimously not guilty amongst 12 jurors.
Mm-hmm.
A nice little room in Newark, in the courthouse.
For those of you that are from other parts of the country, don't really want to go to Newark.
Don't really want to go to Irvington.
There either. I used to live there.
Yeah, well.
So what do we have news-wise?
All right, what do we have?
Mr. Fantastic has an aneurysm because we're just talking.
We have some info. God forbid we should talk on our talk show.
I know.
We have some information about Chuck.
Chuck who?
The TV show.
Oh.
But not really just the TV show.
Okay.
Chuck, a popular show on NBC, was renewed for a second season. Of course, starring one Adam Baldwin, whom you may or may not know as
the guy
Jane
in My
Cobb
Bodyguard.
From...
My Bodyguard. The movie My Bodyguard?
I don't know that movie.
Chris Makepeace and Adam Baldwin. Adam Baldwin was the bodyguard.
I didn't know that.
Matt Dillon was also in the movie.
I didn't know that. Well, there you go. Well, anyway, you may know him as a couple of other things, but...
What else would people know him from?
Well, Serenity, sir. The Hero of Canton. Jane.
Wasn't that part of that TV show?
It was part of that TV show.
What was the name of that?
Not going to say it.
All right. Just thought maybe you'd want to inform some people. Not everybody knows what you're talking about, you know.
Well, you know, is that Joss Whedon show. The other Joss Whedon show.
Angel?
That's it. NBC is where Chuck resides, lives, and thrives, and is sort of following in the footsteps of Heroes, another NBC show.
You mean it's going to have a terrible second season?
No, I mean it's getting its own comic book.
Really?
This summer. It's going to be put out by underneath the Wildstorm banner. Wildstorm, as you know, owned by DC.
Right.
And it's going to follow Chuck Bartowski and his cohorts in some zany new adventures.
Do we know writer, artist,
for
anything?
The book. No, actually, I don't think that they've made that announcement yet.
Okay.
But still, as a fan of Chuck, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, plus I think it's pretty great that NBC is working with DC on some of these shows to bring continuations of the shows to comic book format. I think it's a great cross promotion, cross genre. It's kind of hopefully pulling some new people into the comic book world.
Broadens the spectrum.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I can deal with that.
So there it is. We have some trailers we can discuss this week.
Okay.
I think we should discuss two trailers this. Well, we could discuss three trailers maybe this week.
All right.
Did you see the Speed Racer trailer? Let's start with that.
Now, is this the teaser trailer that's been out for a while? Or
no,
is
this
new
is the
one?
New trailer.
No, didn't see that one.
Ah, well, maybe we shouldn't talk about it then.
Why? Oh, go ahead.
I like it. A lot of people have been saying that they don't like it, that it's too over the top, a little too kind of zany, for lack of a better word. But I thought it actually was a really good interpretation of the Speed Racer world brought into our world.
Like reality.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's a healthy cross. Obviously, it's realistic. It's live action. You know, Matthew Fox as Racer X, Emil Hirsch as Speed Racer, Wednesday Adams as Trixie.
Christina Ricci.
Thank you. Susan Sarandon and
John Goodman,
as his parents, right? And some monkey as Chim Chim.
Wow.
But it looks good.
I want to congratulate you on showing restraint right there.
Well, you know.
Because you could have easily descended.
I'm moving on. I'm growing.
Okay. I'm just
becoming
saying.
Open-minded. My past experience over the past 2 days has opened my eyes.
Yeah, I doubt that.
And, I think it looks really good, actually.
You are not Edward Norton in American History X.
No, I certainly am not. And neither aspects of that movie, mind
right.
you. The before or the after.
Of course.
But it looks really good. It is definitely kind of cartoony at times, but I think it's handled well. I think it looks kind of appropriate for Speed Racer. Matthew Fox looked really good as Racer X, and I'm interested to see where it goes from here. So,
okay.
So that's the first trailer. The second trailer would be a direct-to-DVD movie coming later this summer.
Oh, boy.
Lost Boys 2.
Now, is that direct-to
The Tribe. It is direct-to-DVD. We've actually been talking about this for quite some time now,
okay.
Whether or not it was going to actually happen. And is happening, obviously, and is going direct-to-DVD.
Now, we know for a fact that Corey Feldman.
We do know for a fact that Corey Feldman is in it. Now, there have been some speculative rumors that Corey Haim was going to be in it in some way, shape, or form, although he does not appear in the trailer.
Right.
So I don't know if that's an intentional omission in the trailer. I don't know if that's he didn't get the part.
Corey Feldman is reprising his role as one of the Frog Brothers.
That's correct.
Is the other actor who played the Frog Brother in the first film, is he returning?
I don't believe that he is returning.
Okay.
I think that Corey Feldman is actually the only actor that's returning from the original film. Now, I don't know if you're a fan of the original Lost Boys.
I am.
Okay, good. So, the original Lost Boys it's kind of campy, but not really. It walks a fine line of horror and comedy, I think.
I think a bit more horror than comedy.
It
had some campy moments.
But it had some campy kind of funny moments to it that kind of grounded it a little bit. You know, it wasn't straight out slasher, you know?
Right.
Horror. I wouldn't put it up there with like the likes of a Friday the 13th or a Nightmare on Elm Street.
You know, sir, those Friday the 13th movies and Nightmare on Elm Street have campy moments in them as well.
Especially later on. But this new movie looks so blah.
Bad.
It looks like they're trying to make another, cookie cutter vampire movie.
You're eating maggots, Michael.
Yeah, that's not in there. I wonder if Kiefer Sutherland is going to return.
I would rather doubt it.
It looks like they're taking another paper or cookie cutter vampire movie, slapping Corey Feldman in it, and sticking the Lost Boys in the title.
That would be understandable and typical of the Hollywood machine.
But it doesn't look even remotely appealing. The only thing remotely appealing about it is that it's a Lost Boys sequel.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm not going to rush out and buy it. I'll wait for you to buy it.
Makes you think I'm going
to
buy it.
I'll add it to my Blockbuster queue. One or the other.
Okay.
Whatever happens first.
Your Blockbuster queue is more likely than me buying that movie.
All right.
Just saying.
Okay. What do you got?
Comic books for this week to check out. From Marvel Max, this is their Max line. It's more adult-ish content, a little harsher. Not for the kids. War is Hell, the First Flight of the Phantom Eagle.
Okay.
Is a new book by Garth Ennis with art by Howard Chaykin. So, excellent writer, excellent artist, and it's done in Chaykin's innumerable style.
Right. I like Howard Chaykin's style.
Yes, as do I. It's a World War One Flyers kind of story. And it's really, really quite a good read. I'm very happy to promote this book. War is Hell from Marvel Max.
Okay.
Their Max line. And this I came across today.
I knew you'd be excited about that.
Yes, it's from Transfusion Publishing. You can check them out at transfusion.biz. I never seen a .biz before. Fantastic. Have you seen a lot of .bizes?
My favorite top-level domain is .cx from the Christmas Islands.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Transfusion, TransFusion .biz. This is Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
A look at the most infamous killer of all time, the illustrated Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
And it's basically kind of a here's what happened part encyclopedia, part illustrated storytelling, black and white book. It's really nice. Square bound. It's got a bunch of people who are involved in it, obviously. It's got some crime scene photos. Some reenactments, some other things. There's maps, there's letters. It's kind of a nice condensed version of the whole mystery in this illustrated format. I was very excited about seeing this. And that's from transfusion.biz. And also one that I don't have that I wanted to mention is from Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
Wow.
It's a collected hardcover edition of the book by Devil's Due Publishing.
Okay.
And
we like Devil's Due.
Yeah, it was their entire Defender of the Earth, Voltron Defender of the Earth series, now collected in an awesome, awesome hardbound edition.
Now, did Defender of the Earth, did that follow the original?
Defender of the Universe.
I'm sorry.
You mean story-wise, did it follow the cartoon? I really don't know, to be honest with you. I don't remember. It may have. I just don't remember.
Okay.
I want to say no. I want to say it's like continuing where the cartoon picked up.
Is it Lions?
Or left off. It is Lions.
It is Lions. Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't be recommending it, sir, if it wasn't Lions.
Okay. I'm just asking.
I don't believe in them other ones.
I gotta clarify these.
Them other ones? I don't believe in
them. They don't actually exist in your world.
Devil's Due. You can Google Devil's Due Publishing and you can find out more about that. And that's pretty much comic books this week. You know, Countdown 6 also came out. We're getting ever closer to whatever this DC Universe
whatever one is.
Thing is. That leads into some new series.
Right.
So I don't know. And, you know, usual suspects.
You know, we skipped a trailer, sir.
We did?
We did. We did Speed Racer. We did Lost Boys.
Two, The Tribe.
Right. We didn't do Incredible Hulk.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay, let's talk about The Incredible Hulk. By now, I hope all of you have seen The Incredible Hulk trailer.
And, of course, you can go to YouTube.
Sure.
And see The Incredible Hulk trailer.
Amongst many other places, I'm sure, but YouTube, readily accessible.
Great.
All right, so what did you think? What did you think of the trailer? And then we'll pick it apart a little bit.
Well,
as trailers go, how about that?
It was a nice trailer.
It was no Iron Man trailer.
No.
Compared to the original Iron Man trailer, I do not have the same feeling that I did after having seen that.
No, but I do actually want to see the movie having seen this trailer.
Okay. Well, I wanted to see Iron Man after seeing the Iron Man
trailer. Well, yeah, but what I mean to say is that it wasn't a bad... It wasn't a trailer that didn't inspire me to see the movie.
No. I agree. I still want to see it. It just didn't wow me the way I had hoped it would.
Because it's either going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be...
Atrocious.
A train wreck, or it's going to be decent.
Right, yeah.
But I'm not getting that feeling either way from seeing this trailer.
All right, let's talk about the Hulk.
Okay.
First good, really good, clean images of the Hulk.
The new Hulk.
Edward Norton Hulk. Action-oriented, kind of, you know, we actually see him in motion a little bit. What do you think about the Hulk? Now, a lot of people have been knocking on the bowl cut. I don't mind the bowl cut.
I really didn't even notice it.
A lot of people I'm hearing don't like the bowl cut on the Hulk. Think that he looks pretty good. Proportion-wise, he looks pretty good. Color-wise, he's not that Eric Bana green that the last one was. I mean, he's
murky.
He's a darker green. It's
being an advocate of physical fitness, I did notice that the Hulk is more ripped than I've ever imagined the Hulk in the past. You can see the
killer
sinews
abs
in his chest and abdominals, correct?
All right.
You didn't notice this?
I thought he looked more ripped in this than he did in the last one?
I saw the other one. Well, I didn't see the other one, but I have seen a lot of footage and a lot of shots from it. And, well, I did notice there's a period in this when he's walking towards the camera, and they kind of make a point of him flexing to show that he's so ripped.
And he does that roar.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he, yeah,
exactly.
He does kind of bulk out a bit there. The Hulk bulks out a bit there. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I've never... To me, the Hulk's always been kind of ripped. I mean, he's a musclehead, kind of.
Matt's just jealous. It's okay, Matt.
I am a little jealous. I wish I were big, green, and muscular. But
well, you're three quarters of the way there.
Well, there you go. I'm green.
Got a green shirt.
I do. I like the Hulk. It's the Abomination where my problems lie.
Yeah, that's an interesting design.
He's an abomination.
But it's kind of, you kind of can see that they didn't want to match colors.
Okay.
With the Hulk.
Which is fine.
Because then you're getting that whole Transformer problem.
Exactly. I was going to say that.
Because it's
good.
Hard to tell. Well, thank you. That was a compliment from...
Yeah.
Fantastic. Because you're going to get into that place like they got into Transformers where you can't tell who's fighting who and which part is which part.
All right. You know the slimes in Warcraft?
Yes.
Okay. He kind of looks like a slime from Warcraft if it had a little bit more structure.
Yes.
Like you kind of see like some sort of
bony,
thinned spine or something.
Uh-huh.
And you could almost make out the bone structure of his head a little bit, and kind of looks like maybe his skin is stretched a little too much. And
I'm not familiar with the backstory of Abomination, but from what I saw, it looks like he's somebody else's subconscious manifested as a giant green thing, and the somebody else, not David Bruce Banner or whatever they're calling him in this one.
It's Tim
a guy
Roth's
who's,
character, whoever
is,
it
Tim
is.
Tim Roth's character is evil, and that's how he manifests himself, but I'm not familiar with the backstory.
Well, I don't necessarily mind where they're going with it conceptually, but I just don't like the design. of it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
but maybe it has to grow on me.
We're used to the abomination that we're used to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like anything else. You know, I didn't like the X-Men costumes when I first saw them. You know, I didn't like Bullseye when I first saw him.
Wow. I like Bullseye.
Well, I love classic Bullseye. So when I first saw Bullseye. I got a big coat and a thing in my head, it threw me off. Then I saw the movie and he was awesome. So, you know, it's kind of a... Gotta suspend a little, I think.
Well, I think we're gonna follow it closely. Obviously, the movie opens up in June.
June 13th.
So I'm sure we'll see a litany of other images and probably another trailer at least.
And terrible toys.
And terrible toys.
Yes.
You know, while we're talking about these comic book movies a little bit, have you heard the have you heard the news about the ex-Punisher last year or 2 years ago's Punisher or whenever that movie came out? Thomas Jane?
Yeah.
Arrested for DUI?
Really?
Yeah, just add him to the list of Hollywood idiots.
It's just one DUI.
You know, none of these people are utilizing Sean Puffy Combs' service.
Let me tell you something.
Have you heard about his cab service?
No, what?
He's starting a cab limo service for the stars. So when they get, you know, shit-faced in a bar, they can call up his elite service to pick their asses up so they don't drive DUI all over the place.
You know who could have used that?
Who?
Libby.
Yeah. Yeah, Libby could have used that. She might still be on Lost.
I know. Not. That's what I'm saying.
You know, look. Three people on that show got DUI'd. Three people got kicked off the show.
That's it.
That's all I'm saying.
Libby. Coincidence?
Hannah Lucia, Mr. Echo. Something happened.
I miss Libby.
Well, that's because you love Cynthia Watros.
She's hot as hell.
Bringing us back to the Titus days, representing.
Mm. Word.
Let's talk a little bit about Christian Bale.
Is there a movie he isn't doing?
I don't know. But what he has said is that he's eager. He's interested and eager and willing to do a third Batman film, which really isn't that much of a shock. I think the most interesting thing he said was that he didn't know that if Chris Nolan was going to be tied to the project, and he couldn't imagine going back to those movies, going back to that character, and not being able to work with Chris Nolan. Now, I haven't heard that Chris Nolan isn't doing it, but you would think if anybody knows or has heard something, Christian Bale's got to be
higher up on
the list.
It's Michael Keaton all over again.
Yeah, but...
Michael Keaton and Tim Burton.
Yeah, no, I know.
First two Batman movies, and then...
It's Bryan Singer.
Yeah, Bryan Singer.
Bryan Singer and X-Men. I would think that Chris Nolan has embarked upon this journey to relaunch what many would have considered a dead franchise.
Certainly after George Clooney...
That's what I'm saying.
That disaster.
Yeah.
But, I hope...
I hope he doesn't leave. I mean, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that when he started this journey, knowing how Hollywood works these days, knowing how everything is a trilogy these days for the most part, that he would not have given consideration to doing an entire trilogy at the absolute minimum.
Yes.
So we'll have to see what happens.
Right.
But hopefully he'll be back. Let's talk a little bit about a movie that I happen to be a big fan of. I don't even know if you or Fantastic have ever seen it. Have either of you guys seen The Boondock Saints?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, so the original movie stars Sean Patrick Flannery, Billy Connolly, Willem Dafoe, and a couple of other people who you may or may not recognize once you see it. But this is a movie about... I guess they're vigilantes. They kind of take the law into their own hands and whatnot. And Billy Connolly has a great role in the movie. And there's been a long, long talked about potential sequel to this movie coming out. And for a while it was going to happen, and then it fell through. It was going to be called All Saints Day. It was going to be the name of the sequel. It fell through, and apparently the director and the writer was kind of an asshole, and a lot of people didn't like him. And there was a documentary that had come out about this movie because it's become such an underground cult hit. I mean, when I worked in Suncoast, when Suncoast was still around, it was one of those movies where I would get in like two or three copies a week. I'd get it in on like a Wednesday, and by Saturday I would be sold out of it pretty much every single week. It was consistently. I think it had two DVD releases, a regular edition and a special edition. I mean, it's got a really big, big underground fan following. And a lot of people have been clamoring for a long time for a sequel. And apparently, it has been given the go-ahead. So, Troy Duffy, who I think was the writer of the original one, has announced that it's definitely moving forward. We know that Sean Patrick Flannery and Billy Connolly are coming back. Sean Patrick Flannery and I forget the gentleman who played his brother in the movie. But they are the vigilantes. Billy Connolly is their father, okay. It turns out. And so all three of them are back. No word about Willem Dafoe yet, although Willem Dafoe puts in an amazing performance. He plays an investigator working for the police force, but he's like this rough and tough exterior, kind of no holes barred, no bullshit kind of investigator, but gay as the day is long. So there are some like really, really interesting scenes with that kind of characterization. Willem Dafoe is fantastic. Probably one of his best roles, in my personal opinion. So for those of you who haven't checked out the Boondock Saints, you definitely should. And then you can look forward to the sequel, much like I am.
That's awesome.
Are you serious?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
You really should. I'll loan it to you.
I own it.
Oh, well then watch it. You have no excuse.
There's a lot of DVDs that I own that I haven't watched
push
yet.
Push this to the front of the list.
And speaking of DVDs,
Did you buy a couple this week? A
couple of them came out this week.
Small handful?
Just a few.
All right.
Walt Disney presents Enchanted.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
It's kind of a live-action send-up of... it's kind of a what would happen if live-action Disney... rather, animated Disney characters entered the real world.
Now, this stars Amy Adams, James Marsden, and who's the other third big one?
McDreamy.
Oh, that's right, McDreamy.
Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick Dempsey, right.
And it looks... And Susan Sarandon, also, and Indina Menzel.
Oh, that's right. I forgot
Indina Menzel was there. Timothy Spall. And there's a lot of people
It's got a good cast.
Yeah, and it's out on DVD, a widescreen edition. And it's very funny. It was nominated for Academy Awards for the song.
Yeah, for two songs,
something like that. Yeah, and so that's out on DVD now. Check that out. If you get it at Blockbuster, it comes with the Enchanted book or a book that is based on the movie.
Right.
It's a junior novel and mini book co-pack. The mini book is Enchanted Before the Fall. So there it is.
All right.
A little bonus features for you there. Southland Tales.
Now, Southland Tales, this was based on a graphic novel. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, see, now I've never read the graphic novel, and I really wanted to see the movie. I mean, it's got some great stars in it. Sarah Michelle Gellar, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Stifler. What's that dude's name?
Just call him Stifler. Sean William Scott,
thank you.
Yes.
Amongst a few others. Is it Mandy Moore, I think, has a cameo in that? And
Nora Dunn, Christopher Lambert.
Yeah, that's right.
John Larroquette.
Oh, well, your favorite.
Bai Ling, John Lovitz, Mandy Moore. I mean, there's a ton of people. Sherry O'Terry, Amy Poehler. There's a ton of people, and including friend of the show, Kevin Smith.
Now, I heard originally that...
Justin Timberlake, also a friend of the show.
Oh, yeah?
No, but... It
just felt like saying that?
Kind of want to end with the friend of the show, and I already said that about Kevin Smith.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of just threw that in.
I had heard this didn't do that well
and during its theatrical release. Absolutely correct.
Now, was that because it wasn't received well, or because it was a bad movie?
I'll be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I only read about 20 pages of the graphic novel.
Okay, and did you like it?
I liked it, but I didn't
see
where it was going. So,
well, it's vignettes, isn't it? Isn't it kind of a bunch of vignettes that all tie in together in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I'm interested to see the movie.
The movie?
To see what they're doing it. But I am going to finish the book first. And that's what we'll recommend you do also. Go out to your local comic book shoppie.
That's right.
And pick up the book, Southland Tales.
If you happen to be in Wisconsin, near the bathhouses, you could look up Retailer X.
You could. And then I suggest checking out the movie featuring all the stars that we mentioned. Now available on DVD.
Wowee.
I Am Legend.
Another movie that was mixed. It was received very, Very mixed.
Will Smith.
By the audience.
Two disc special. Special from Blockbuster gets the tin case treatment. And this is a movie that is actually been remade twice before.
Right. The Omega Man.
The Omega Man, right?
Was the Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston, yes.
And what was the original one? That was the middle one. The
original one was, I don't remember what the original one
was. Wasn't it Last Man on Earth or something like that?
Maybe Fantastic. Do you have some information on the history of the I Am Legend movie?
Sure, Kev. I Am Legend was a 54 science fiction novel by Richard Matheson.
Okay, 1954.
Yes. The first adaptation was in 1964, starring Vincent Price.
Ooh, Vinny Price.
And what was that one called?
That one was The Last Man on Earth.
Which is the name of the book, right?
No, the book is called I Am Legend.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Right. The next was The Omega Man, starring Charlton Heston in 1971.
Right.
And then we have this masterpiece starring Will Smith, I Am Legend.
Did you say Smith?
No, I didn't.
Smith. S-M-I-F-F. Will Smith. So that's out on DVD now. I think it got mixed reviews. Fantastic. Can you speak to us about this new craze that I'm noticing now coming with a lot of these new DVDs? I'm getting includes bonus digital copy of the film.
Okay. I wasn't aware that is that a Sony DVD?
I don't know.
I wasn't aware that that was on there or they were doing this. I've heard of some Blu-ray discs doing this. It's so you don't have to rip the disc yourself. They give you a DRM'd version that you can play on your computer. That one may have a serial number that you have to type in. Okay. On the box in order to unlock the movie somehow, but there's a couple different ways that studios are trying to avoid causing people to rip discs and break copyright laws and share them on the internet and things like that. So they're giving you a copy that you can watch on one of your devices, maybe an iPod, probably not the iPod, and play as you will.
It says on the back here, this DVD will not work in a CD-ROM drive, and the DVD-ROM and digital copy features are not available on Apple, Mac OS, iPod, or Zune.
The Zune is Microsoft's digital media player.
It's not available on those, apparently.
So what probably happens is it installs a little program to your Windows-only computer.
Right.
And then prompts you for some kind of information or checks the discs or checks the internet and then plays the video that way.
Now, how is this different than, pardon my ignorance, but how is this different than taking any other DVD off of your shelf, putting it in your DVD drive, and having Media Player pop open or WinDVD or one of those other billion other Windows-based DVD player software that comes installed on every PC you buy nowadays?
Well, I can't really speak for this particular version, this I Am Legend disc, because right. I don't really understand what they're saying on the back there. You're right. But in theory, they would provide you with a file that you could then move around and play in any on any device of your choosing, anywhere that you wanted.
Okay.
Which is cool. But what they're trying to do is avoid the situation where you're ripping the disc yourself and then, say, encoding it or converting it for your iPod or for your Zune or for your Apple TV or any other device that you happen to have under your TV or sharing it on the internet. But it's just another case of the studio's kind of half-assed attempt to circumvent piracy by just putting a different type of restriction on you. In this case, you're not going to be able to watch it if you have an Apple Macintosh
right.
or Linux computer or any other kind of computer. So you still have an issue there, and you're going to have to rip the disc anyway.
Right.
Well, there it is.
Huh.
You know, Will Smith's got to be careful. He's become one of them dads that are going to start putting his kids in everything. I heard that him and Jada are sticking their two children in some new, new Kitty, Bridge to Terabithia, Chronicles of Narnia,
really?
Spiderwick Chronicles, blah, blah, blah.
But as an urban setting,
No, it's called The Amulet, and I don't know much about it other than that's what it's called.
Other than it has a cheesy title.
But it stars the two Smith children.
His kid could be Jaden
and something.
His kid could be one of the characters in Aaron Magruder's Boondocks live action.
Yeah.
Word, he could. He could be Riley.
It's true. He was in that movie with him.
It was in,
I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called either.
Me and Sam.
Happiness.
Something
happiness.
Happiness. Pursuit of happiness.
Pursuit of happiness.
Yes. Boy, that's it.
And last on DVDs, completely out of the picture and out of the way, so to speak, is, at least for our genre, is Atonement. Keira Knightley, James McAvoy, seven Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture. And I wanted to point out this one particularly for the Best Buy exclusive is the comes with the best-selling novel, Atonement.
What it should come with is a voucher so that you could buy a meal for Keira Knightley and send it to her so that she could actually eat something.
What are you trying to say about Keira Knightley?
I'm trying to say that she used to be kind of hot, and she's starting to get a little emaciated, creepy.
She's just a thin girl.
She's creepy in that movie. She's like creepy skinny.
You saw this?
No, but I saw tons of trailer and video footage online.
I don't know. It looked really good.
The movie looks outstanding, she looks creepy skinny.
Right, but what I wanted to point out was that this is interesting that they have included the novel that the film is based on.
Well, good for them.
And and at no additional cost. It's still whatever it was, $16, $17. And I think this is an interesting trend that I think should continue with things that are based on novels and maybe even graphic novels and things of that nature. What a great idea. How great would it have been, at least for the comic industry, if, let's say, for example, Road to Perdition had included the graphic novel of Road to Perdition? Or if, what was that other one that no one knew was from a History of Violence?
Right.
Had included the graphic novel on which the movie is based. And I had to speak up about that because I think this would be a great trend to start in our industry. You know, this is kind of a cross the war romantic sort of novel,
right?
You know, kind of thing, and maybe it doesn't really fit. But boy, I can tell you those two examples that I just gave, I think they would have done wonders for the comic industry had they included a version with them. Fantastic something?
I think this is a milestone we've hit in this episode because this is two good ideas you've had now, Kev. I think good.
You know, I have some ideas now and again.
So the example that I can give you is that if I purchased Sin City and it came with the first Sin City, I would definitely have purchased the next four.
Right.
So,
or six.
Whatever it was,
yeah.
So my concern lies with cost effectiveness of including a copy of the graphic novel. So what if instead of including a copy of the graphic novel, do we think it would be just as beneficial if maybe they provided you with some sort of bonus disc that had a digital version of the graphic novel with a nice reader that would install when you put it in your machine, work on both types of machines? Would that be just as effective? I'm thinking it might be cheaper and more cost effective than actually including a copy of the graphic novel itself, which could be cost prohibitive.
For me to buy it, personally, I think I would still buy it, but I think people as a whole would be a lot more attracted to buying the actual print copy version included, and they would then buy the other print copies. So if they could prove that buying this one with the exclusive caused people to buy the other ones, I would definitely see that being a plus, but not as good.
Well, then maybe the solution is to, instead of including full-sized copies of the graphic novels, do like they did with Hellboy.
I don't want that.
The animated series and do the digest versions?
I don't want that.
No?
No.
I would rather have the full size. Yeah.
I agree, but for some reason, I think that it might be cost prohibitive.
Okay, well,
to provide a graphic novel.
Let's point this out in the three examples that we've said so far.
Right.
Which were History of Violence,
right.
Road to Perdition, and
right.
Fantastic Said, Sin City. Of the three graphic novels, Sin City, size-wise, is the largest one.
And it's not huge.
Yeah, and it's not huge.
It's fat, but it's not wide.
And History of Violence, as well as Road to Perdition, are both smaller size graphic novels.
Okay, I'm just saying.
But we can compare it to this one, Atonement. How much is the Atonement book? Probably $7 to $8, $6.95,
something
like that.
As a price.
Right, and I agree with you, right? It's probably $6 or $7, like most paperback novels.
Right.
Graphic novels start at $11, $12, $13, $20 for some of them. Some of the Sin City graphic novels are almost $20.
Yeah, you're
aren't
right.
They?
But I mean, look, it's time for them to say, all right, we're gonna do this half-assed not sell enough, complain about it. People are going to steal them anyway. We're not going to cannibalize our own market and not sell enough books and complain about it and say nobody reads. Or we go balls to the wall, we include the entire thing, and Mr. Fantastic buys five more novels and they win out.
You know, I'm not saying that I don't agree with you. I'm just saying that I wonder if there is a way to make it more cost effective.
You're right. In any case,
I'm taking it from a business standpoint, from a marketing standpoint.
I know. In any case, it's going to cause them to innovate, and that's a good thing.
Right.
Because
I mean,
we're tired of seeing the
exactly.
same old crap.
Right. But I'm going to agree with Fantastic. I think that an actual print copy promotes print copies rather than promoting, which I think I should say is probably inevitable at this point, that the majority of these things are going to go all digital at some point.
Right.
But that said, as long as there is print copies, I think the print copies are what should be promoted. And that said, I think that including print copies with some of these DVDs, like the ones we mentioned, and I'm sure there's 100 others. Do you out there, listeners of Big Heavy Geek Stuff, do you know some graphic novels that have been turned into films or books that have been turned into films that would have been excellent to have the book or graphic novel attached to it at the same price?
I can name another one.
I can name 100. But the point is that I want to hear from the listeners.
Oh, okay.
So write in. Go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Drop us a line. Let us know what you think. OG will post a blog about this, and we can get some responses. Let's see what other people are thinking about this topic.
Okay.
That's what I think. You have more news?
Sure. I always have more news. Do you know who director Peter Berg is?
Sure.
Who is he? What has he directed?
He's that guy that directed Peter Berg. He directed...
No clue, do you?
I've heard the name.
All right. This is what you want to know about Peter Berg. Peter Berg, in conjunction with Paramount Pictures, is adapting Frank Herbert's Dune... Again.
What?
Why would I lie about that? Paramount is working with Peter Berg, along with Kevin Mischer, who I don't know who that is, but apparently he's been hounding the Herbert estate to get the rights to the books, and they're going to be creating another Dune movie.
Like a remake of the original Dune movie, or is it going to be another one of the books?
No, I believe it's going to be a remake of the original. And from what I understand, the gentleman who purchased the rights to several books. So maybe they're looking to relaunch and create a film franchise.
A new sci-fi extravaganza?
Could be.
Dune is one of the headiest science fiction movies ever made.
I would agree with that.
Early 80s, it was really kind of way out there on the edge.
It hurts me to read it sometimes.
It does, and it should. And the movie hurts, too. Let me tell you the significance of Dune from my childhood.
Okay.
Dune was the first science fiction movie I ever went to where they handed out a glossary
okay.
before the movie. I'm not even joking. I wish I had it to this day. I wish I had it. I know I stuck it in a book somewhere. I'm sure 20 years down the line, I'm going to open up some book, and it's going to be in there. But it was a single sheet. I want to say it was double-sided, and it gave you, like, information that you needed to know about the movie.
Okay. About characters?
About
and
characters
world.
And worlds and terms and things and what is Arrakis.
Right.
And things like, you know, like, it kind of gave you all this information. And I'm wondering if they did this because they felt... the movie didn't do a good enough job for all audiences, because this was definitely not made for children. It definitely came in the middle of the Star Wars, franchise, and it was really sort of, I want to say, not well received. However, it has gone down as a bit of a cult classic.
Okay.
Over the years,
well,
and of course,
yeah, I mean, you know,
there's been the innumerable. Versions, underground versions, uncut versions, TV versions, and, it's been sliced and diced and stacked and every other way released illegally, and then finally released legally. But then supposedly these additional minutes, which everyone knows existed, supposedly they didn't exist, and it's been like this huge underground science fiction controversy for years.
And that's just that movie.
I know, and they haven't not done. I don't think of that version. I don't think they've done a definitive version of that film yet, to my knowledge. I don't think one has come out. Wasn't that Lynch?
It was David Lynch that did the original 84 film, yes.
Right. And that said,
Sci-Fi Channel had two dunes also.
Yes, two of them. A remake of that book.
Right.
Again.
And they were both done miniseries style, I believe, weren't they?
I think they were, yeah. And wasn't the second one Children of Dune?
Second one was Children of Dune.
I think I have that one in my collection, but I don't think I have the sci-fi remake. But, wow, I got to say I'm a little stunned about that, because I don't think they did that well on sci-fi, although I guess the first one did well enough, and I suspect that it did well enough probably based on speculation and comparisons between the David Lynch movie and the original, which may have been why it did well enough for them to greenlight Children of Dune, which apparently didn't do well.
Well, the only way this makes sense to me is if they plan on making a franchise out of it. I don't see it as a one-off. I think it's way too big of a financial investment to go through as a one-off.
Well, it's certainly interesting. Is there any information on release dates? Or?
No. It actually doesn't have a producer. It doesn't have a writer for the screenplay. I mean, it doesn't have anything yet. It's really like an announced project. Paramount has definitely greenlit it, and it's moving full steam ahead, but nothing else about it yet. So
we'll
follow it closely.
84 one was so creepy.
Well, it's David Lynch. I mean, David Lynch is kind of...
I know, but it was really like...
Bizarro.
And I remember trying to read the book.
I can't read them. I'm not going to lie. As a sci-fi fan, I cannot read the Dune books. I've read the first one, and it was a trial. And I picked up the second one. I think I read like the first three pages. And I was like, fuck Dune.
Stupid desert planet.
I couldn't wrap my brain around the... You know, you call me stupid if you want, but I couldn't wrap my brain around the complexity and bizarro-ness of the series.
The
I know people like love them and swear by them.
The
but
worm is the spice.
They were not for me.
The worm is the spice.
All right, we got one more thing to talk about in the news.
All right.
And we need to take a break. Let's talk a little bit about 24.
Okay.
24 will not have a new season until January of 2009.
Okay.
Obviously with the strike and then Kiefer being in jail and all of that other stuff. Well, you know, a couple years ago he attacked a Christmas tree. This year he was drunk driving. They will, however, be doing a two-hour made-for-TV prequel, which is supposed to bridge Season 6 and Season 7. Now, in the past, what they've done is maybe like a half hour or maybe like 45 minutes, and sometimes they include it with the DVD release of the previous season or something like that, kind of like a teaser thing.
Uh-huh.
My guess is that they're doing something a bit bigger, a bit more grandiose this time. Because it will have been so long since we had a season.
Right.
By the time Season 7 comes around, it will be 2 years since the previous season. I mean, that's a long time. And I think in order to hold on to the fan following and in order to create that fervor and build for the new season scheduled for January 2009, maybe a two-hour prequel? Not such a bad idea. Now, how you cram 24 hours into 2 hours? Not quite sure.
Maybe it's only 2 hours.
Are they going to call it two?
Two. That would be funny. Just two. They should do that. It'd be weird.
So
shoot it all like one shot.
So what I'm wondering is if they're going to stick to the format of the TV show, or if it's going to be shot more like a movie.
Okay.
Where they cram a whole bunch of stuff into a 2 hour span. So we'll see. But for those of you who are Jack Bauer fans, this summer, 24, 2 hour prequel. Look for it.
And with that, we'll take our first break.
Cue the music?
And no.
Oh.
That's the end of the show.
Damn.
We'll take our first break. And we'll be back with a special tidbit from Monster Mania.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds. N-E-R-D-Z.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
Fuck, 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 mother, mother, fuck, mother, mother, fuck, fuck, mother, fuck, mother, fuck, noinch, 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 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, noinch, noinch, noinch.
Hey, this is Jason Mewes, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Snitch. Yes, bitch.
You're a faith healer on TV. You're an office park without any trees. Corporate and cold, gushing for gold. Leave me alone.
All right, we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 96.
Ludo.
Right, Ludo. Good album. You're obsessed.
We had the occasion to be guests at Monster Mania, and we want to thank Dave from Monster Mania.
We do.
For having us down there.
Swell man. Time.
And one of our goals was to get a minute or two with one Bruce Campbell.
Right.
Which we did do.
We did.
And
well,
by
you
we,
did.
I mean me.
Right.
And, of course, the luck streak of OG being available for these interviews strikes us once again. OG and I are waiting for our opportunity to enter the holding area where Bruce Campbell is for our 3-minute audience with His Majesty, the King of Chins.
Right.
And in that time, I said I had asked OG to just run back to the table. Probably what? Couldn't have been 100 feet away.
Yeah, something like that.
And grab something for me. And as he turned and was, say, halfway back to that table, I was physically moved into his presence.
All right, now that's your version of the story.
Okay.
My version of the story is I got screwed again.
This
is a trend.
This is not a trend. You didn't
I'm not
get
blaming
screwed.
You. I'm not blaming you per se. I'm just saying that Lady Luck does not shine favorably upon me.
Ever. And not having nothing to do with this at all.
So there it is.
So there it is. And with that, let me give you a rather brief snippet interview with His Majesty Bruce Campbell. Okay, I'm here at the convention with Bruce Campbell, and I have two questions before he does my ID. First question, where is My Name is Bruce?
It's just now completed. It's in the hands of Image Entertainment. I'm going to show a 10-minute clip here at this convention today, special sneak preview. It's done. It's ready. It'll be out in 08. But independent movies, you never know exactly when or where.
And what is the next project that you're working on?
I'm going back to work on season 2 of Burn Notice for USA. This end of April, we go back, and then it's going to be on the air in mid-June. And then the first season of Burn Notice will be out on DVD in June. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Thanks, Bruce.
So there it is.
That's it. I mean, I wanted to... these were the things that we were most curious about. Where is that movie that everybody's been talking about?
You know, it's been screened, right? Some people have seen it already.
I didn't know that.
One of our listeners, who I guess misunderstood us. I don't think we said we were going to see a screener of the movie. I think we said we were hoping to find out some information about the movie.
Right.
Apparently, one of our listeners emailed me during the course of the week and said that he had actually seen the movie.
Really?
And was refraining from telling me anything about it based upon what we were going to say about it after having seen it. But we were not fortunate enough to have actually seen it.
Well.
And I missed that 10-minute preview. I was unable to...
I know, yeah, I didn't make that either. And I didn't really want to be honest with you.
Oh, I did. I just had other scheduling conflicts. So
it's coming in 08, which means there's got to be a trailer soon.
Very soon, I would think.
So, you know, I can wait for that. And of course, he'll be continuing on Burn Notice.
That's right.
Which I totally forgot that he was doing.
Yeah, you know, I've only seen like one or two episodes of season one.
What's season one coming on DVD, as he said?
In June, right?
We can check that out, yeah. And season two will be upon us at that
time.
Well,
there it is.
There it is. Bruce Campbell at Monster Mania. He's the king.
He is the king. Hail to the king.
And we'll be right back with segment three.
Give me a sign. Hello out there. Everyone in Geekland. Yeah, that's you. I mean you. This is Daddy Fantastic. That's right. You know, Mr. Fantastic's father. I know you didn't think he had any relatives, but he does. I've been thinking, the only way Mr. Fantastic is ever going to get out of that basement of mine is if this show really takes off. Yeah, he lives in the basement. We let him out to do the show, but I want him out of there permanently. So what Mrs. Fantastic and I need you to do is visit the iTunes store and subscribe to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's Big Kev's Geek... Yeah, you know what I mean. Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You do that by typing Geek Stuff. I know that's a little strange, but it's Geek Stuff, into the search field, and then you hit some keys, and before you can say David Copperfield, you're there. It's unbelievable. It's just something really that's fantastic. Yeah, that's right. Daddy Fantastic. Also, don't forget to visit the website on the internets. The address is big. It's very big, this address. It's just so long to get it out. It's Big Kegs. What's the guy's name? Would you please tell me? What's his name? Big Kev. That's it. I knew it. BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can't miss it. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. It's not time to make one more thing. I messed up before. If you would like to hear more Big Kev's Geek Stuff, email eric.logan@xmradio.com. Don't forget.
Hey, this is Christine Hodge, Simone from Head of the Class, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Are
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 96.
You're Big Kev. I'm OG.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that
means. And, you know, you never gave out some of the other OG things.
No. You know, I think I'll post some of them on the
Will
website.
Will you? Okay, that'll be good.
I'm going to post the picture.
Right.
Post some of the other ones on the website.
Right.
And we'll leave it at
trivia question coming at in the next segment in the wrap-up.
Sure.
For tickets to New York Comic Con. It's the biggest extravaganza on the East Coast, April 18th through the 20th.
That's right.
And you are going to want to be there, and I am going to get you there if you get the trivia question correct.
That's right. All right. What are we talking about in segment three of episode 96, Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Ludo.
You said so.
That's the title.
I know.
We're talking about Tonner.
Okay, let's talk about Tonner.
Tonner character, character figures.
That's right.
Is that it?
Yes.
Why do I always forget this?
I don't know.
Tonner character figures on, I don't care. I'll call them Tonner character dolls. I don't even care. I think they're awesome. Number one.
All right.
Been waiting a long time.
I've been waiting a long time.
Here she is.
There she is.
Harley Quinn.
Harleen Quinzel.
Awesome, awesome piece.
Sure.
First DC piece that I have a problem with.
Okay.
I got a problem.
All right, let's talk about it.
All right.
What's your problem?
Well, here's my problem.
Okay.
If you were to remove Harleen Quinzel from the box.
Right.
Now, she's in, we should say she's in her traditional...
red and black...
right.
Harlequin outfit.
Harlequin outfit. Comes with the gloves and the little mask that you can put on her face. You see my problem yet? Now have her out of the package?
I see a problem to start off with, yeah.
What's the problem?
Why is her hair coming out of the back of that mask?
Okay.
Or headpiece, or towel.
This is my problem. If you will. This is my problem.
What? Never has she appeared like that.
Never, ever. And as we look around Studio A at the many examples of Harley Quinn, because as we know, Harley Quinn and Joker, my favorite villains. And that said, nowhere have I ever seen her hair sticking out of her costume like this.
It kind of makes me want to cut it off.
No, I mean, let's not get crazy. It's just hair. I think I'm wondering if by opening up the back of the costume,
if you could like tuck it in,
that you might be able to tuck it in. I'm wondering maybe if they just didn't want to do that because, you know, they just didn't want to do that. I don't know. Well,
they should have just made her
smooth headed.
Yeah.
But see, that's what the toner difference is, my friend. The toner difference is they're making this a more realistic thing. Right? So we know Harleen Quinzel, Harley Quinn,
right,
has blonde hair. We know that it is of some length.
Right.
And if she were a more realistic person like this doll represents, where would that hair go? Now, granted, that's an awful lot of hair. Right? And so I'm not exactly sure about the length. I don't recall her having hair that long, at least not in the animated series. Maybe in the comics.
It was more shoulder length. Shoulder length, I think. That's like mid-back.
Yeah, definitely. That's like almost butt.
Yeah, actually, that is almost butt.
And I have a feeling that probably, and I will explore this option when I'm alone.
Ew.
I think the hair could be effectively tucked in.
Okay.
And that said, I don't think you're losing anything.
Okay.
By having it necessarily. However, this does remain a problem because they have made a hole in the back of the
right cowl.
The cowl part for the hair to come out, and so I guess the larger issue is what do you do with that? And the hair is sort of tied back, so there's sort of a lump. It's one of those things that I'm a little confused about as to why they decided to go this way. But then again, I can understand it. Toner making fashion dolls, making more realistic kind of interpretations. So I can understand why this came out this way or why they went this direction. I'm just curious to know the thought process behind it.
Okay.
So Harley Quinn from Toner, still an amazing piece.
Sure.
Still worth picking up if you're a Harley or Joker fan. And as I'm sure many of you know, myself, huge Harley and Joker fan.
You've said
some,
that already.
Some of my favorite villains.
You've said that already. Twice now.
Yeah. And Joker, probably my favorite villain.
That's three times.
I'm just saying. And that said, I'm going to recommend that everybody picks this up. Comes with the gloves that you can put on.
Okay.
And the little mask, as I mentioned, the stand is included. It's a great piece, of course, from Toner.
All right. So there she is, Harleen Quinzel, Harla Quinn.
Unless, of course, they're planning on doing, like, another costume for her. Like, that's not the Harley Quinn costume. Then I can understand the hair. Like, yes. like Dr. Harley Quinzel kind of suit maybe thing. I don't know.
I don't know.
The license that brought us to Toner, of course, Harry Potter.
Of course, Harry Potter.
And their latest Harry Potter piece is actually an accessory. I call it an accessory.
Yeah.
It is a character.
It is a character.
I call it an accessory.
Okay.
Because it's not one of the dolls.
It is not one of the dolls.
It's Fox.
It is Fox. That would be Albus Dumbledore's Phoenix.
Yes. And he's molded. He comes with a little perch that he sits on, and he has the real feather head.
Oh, he does. Oh, nice. Yeah, very nice.
Real feathered head, which is very nice. The sculpting, of course, is well done. Feathers and so forth. It's just another one of the flavor pieces, if you will, to have along with your Tonner Harry Potter collection.
Sure.
And
I would proudly display it amongst the rest of mine. So, sure.
Sure.
Along with all the other great accessories. I mean, this falls in line with Crookshanks, the Quidditch trunk, Dobby even, Hedwig.
Hedwig, of course.
So, I mean, that's where this falls in. The firebolt, right? The broom.
Right. The cup.
The cup, right.
The Triwizard Cup.
Tournament Cup, right.
Right. It's those accessories that that they have provided, Tonner's provided, that sort of flesh out a little bit more this universe in the Tonner style.
Sure.
Which is very good. I think the next piece from them may be, it's either Cho or Snape, I think, right?
Snape has got to be coming down the pipeline.
He looks awesome.
He does look awesome.
I mean, wow. I thought that Voldemort was incredible, but I think the Snape is going to be even better than that. I'm pretty excited to see that.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. And let's bounce back now.
To DC.
Okay, I wanted to put that one in the middle because I think we're going to end up talking about this one for a bit.
Okay.
This is Batman.
That is Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He's big.
He is big.
He's nice.
Yeah, he's big and he's nice, but is there anything bothering you about this?
No, he's got the cowl, the gloves, the boots. I see all of that. Traditional colors, gray and
blue. Right. Well, we should say, of course, going along with the Tonner tradition with these DC pieces, they seem to be sticking, and rightfully so, to the Silver Age.
Right.
Sort of incarnations of these characters. So, in other words, the Batman is in that blue and gray with the yellow and black symbol on the chest.
Right.
The blue boots are included as well as the gloves. He has the utility belt, and it's a good body, I think.
Okay.
Overall, it does very well. This bothers me a little.
Really? I like that.
I'm holding up the cowl.
I like that.
And the cape. And it bothers me a little bit. I'll tell you, maybe the only thing that bothers me is the eyes.
I like the eyes. Now, is it the fact that bothers you about the eyes is that they're colored in? Is that what it is?
Well, they're white.
As opposed to, what, black, perhaps?
I don't know. Or cut out?
See, I'll tell you why the cutout doesn't work and why the coloring works.
Okay.
Maybe it shouldn't have been white. Maybe it could have been black. But I think white works, though, actually, with that color scheme.
Probably white is how it looked in the book, right?
You don't see Batman's eyes a lot.
Not in this age, certainly.
Through the mask.
Right. In the Silver Age, especially.
That's what I mean. Like, you don't actually see his human eyes through the mask.
Right.
So I think that they're trying to capture that. Now, if you remember Batgirl, right, when she came out, she had the cowl with the eyes cut out. Worked very well for Barbara Gordon. Worked very well for Silver Age Batgirl.
Right.
You did see her eyes. There was more of a human element to that fact. Batman being what he is, being the Dark Knight, being as mysterious as he is, being almost being a superhero and almost not quite being just your run-of-the-mill human. By removing his eyes, you give him that characteristic.
Okay.
Because you're removing that, you're kind of removing that human element to him.
Right.
And you're elevating him to a level.
Right.
Above the rest of us.
Right.
And I think that works very well for Batman. And so I think creatively, what they've done with that cowl works very well for Batman.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
Does that sound like a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so. The utility belt is a little less utilitarian than I expected.
Yeah, but, you know, Silver Age, his utility belt was not nearly as utilitarian as modern age.
Really?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, he didn't always have a lot of the bells and whistles. He had a lot of the gizmos and gadgets.
Right.
But you didn't always see them
kind of there.
Hanging off the belt. Like,
right.
He almost kind of just had them. But the belt was always kind of that standard yellow bat symbol belt.
No. No bat symbol.
No bat symbol?
Oh, it's just... It's,
was
it's,
it bat symbol? Did he had the bat symbol on the belt, though?
I think.
In the books, correct?
I don't remember.
Well, I don't mind the lack of gizmos and gadgets.
No, that's not my problem. My problem is that it doesn't look compartmentalized like I've always seen that belt look.
Okay.
So I think that where my criticism comes here is that it could have looked less like a big yellow belt and more like a utility belt.
Okay.
So I'm wondering what direction they're going with there.
I wonder what the inspiration was behind it.
Yes. That's an even better way to put it. But again, once you put his boots on and his gloves on and his cowl on, you put him up, you put him out there, he's a fantastic representational piece. And you're not getting anything like this, nothing like these Tonner pieces from anybody else.
No.
I mean, this is a 16-inch Silver Age Batman, fully posable, awesome, awesome figure.
Sure.
And that should be noted. Zippers on the boots. It's all the details that we've always talked about
right.
with Tonner. And I think that's Batman. I like the body. I think Robert may have been a little concerned about the body here.
No, I
think
he did a fine job.
I like the body.
I think that he's kind of beefy, but he's supposed to be.
And I think he's beefy where he needs to be.
I think he did a fine job.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd like to see a Bruce Wayne.
Well, that would just be an outfit.
I know, but you can kind of...
Just like a tuxedo. Hey, that might be something,
you
Robert.
You could kind of represent, though. You could kind of represent him as Bruce Wayne. I mean,
turtleneck?
Yeah. I mean, but you know, there are elements there that you can do that would kind of tie it in, I think. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree with that. You could do something like that, like an accessory set.
Yeah. Maybe even it's just a clothing set.
I think
to go along with that figure.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there totally.
Just a thought.
It's a nice head. It's a nice. I mean, you kind of get the look when he's in the cowl that you know he's Batman. There's
no
denying that.
That's what I mean. He really does. He gives off that feeling, which is good. That's what they're going for again. So kudos to them.
And who's next? Do we know? Is Superman next?
I think Superman is next.
Superman maybe next in this DC line.
I believe Superman is the next.
And I think if I remember correctly, that's a new body also.
Altogether, yeah.
At least that's what I think.
I believe so.
I believe that's what Robert told us at Toy Fair.
I believe so.
Okay, so it's Batman. It's from Tonner. TonnerDoll.com.
Tonner Inc.
TonnerInc.com. TonnerInc.com.
Probably can go to both of them. Either
Tonner,
one, I think.
TonnerDoll.com.
TonnerInc.com. I think both.
Go to all their websites.
Both point you in the right direction.
And you can check out all the fine collectibles from Tonner. And you can continue to check them out on Big Kev's Geek Stuff because we can't get enough of this stuff.
Well, that's right.
And I'm way looking forward to see what's coming. That Davy Crockett piece.
I know. You're
unbelievable.
You're giddy.
I am giddy.
With joy and
how
happiness.
Much Davy Crockett Fess Parker merchandise do you see?
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying. And with that, we'll take a break. We'll be back with the wrap up. Oh, God, another spot? I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby.
All right, here we go. Super Hollywood style.
You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games. They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. Is that the URL?
Why don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL? The phone number?
The phone number?
Yeah.
973. What's the phone number?
Pull the fucking page! hands up.
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial.
Well, what if they want to fax
You're
their order?
You're insulting them. They're a sponsor of the show. You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated.
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay, go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures, manga. Yo, you gotta respond at least.
What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this. Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I going to make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788 or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she's like a samba.
Hey, this is Peter Fonda from 310 to Yuma, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Get cool. Born to be wild.
Born to be wild.
Love me cancerously. Like a salt sore soaked in the sea. High maintenance means you're a gluttonous queen. Narcissistic and mean.
What?
What are we listening to now?
It's Ludo.
Is it another song?
No, it's the same one. I used the same song throughout the entire episode. It's an awesome song.
Okay.
Love Me Dead, track one off of Ludo's album called You're Awful, I Love You.
What did we talk about tonight that's not Ludo related?
I don't know.
We talked about Chuck, the comic book series coming from Wildstorm in DC, based on the NBC hit show, coming back for season two, following the adventures and tales of one Chuck Bartowski. So look for that later this year in June. June 11th is the first episode or issue of that. We also talked about Christian Bale. And Batman 3, obviously Christian Bale wants to do it. Little concerned that Chris Nolan hasn't said much to him yet about it. So hopefully Chris Nolan tied to that project.
Comics to check out this week from Marvel Max. The first in a 5-issue limited series by Garth Ennis and Howard Chaykin called War is Hell, the First Flight of the Phantom Eagle. And from transfusion.biz, TransFusion.biz, it's the illustrated Jack the Ripper. It's a kind of an investigational book. Imagine From Hell, but about 1/1,000,000th of the size.
Right.
As well as Devils Do, collecting their Voltron Defender of the Universe, that's the cool Lions one, into a hardbound edition. The entire series that they did collected. Great, great book. Beautiful piece.
Boondock Saints 2, starring Sean Patrick Flannery, Billy Connolly, and Norman Reedus, are coming to fruition. Finally, Troy Duffy, whom you know from the first film, has finally gotten all of his shite together. And you can check that film coming out soon. For those of you who are more interested in the cult hit of Boondock Saints, and Troy Duffy and his story of success and failure and why he was labeled a prick by many people, you can check out the documentary Overnight, which came out in 2004.
Excellent. Excellent. DVDs to check out this week. Walt Disney's Enchanted tells the story of their cartoon characters coming into the real world. Buy it at Best Buy. You get the novelization, junior novel and mini book co-pack with that. Southland Tales, based on a graphic novel of the same name, with stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson and our friend Kevin Smith, as well as the great John Larroquette. In this DVD release, check it out. I Am Legend, the third remake of the Richard Matheson story, Last Man on Earth. Well, the Richard Matheson story was I Am Legend, but the first make of the movie was Last Man on Earth, Omega Man, and now I Am Legend, starring Will Smith. Tin box treatment, if you get the two-disc special. I don't know if that's Best Buy exclusive or not with the steel box.
Okay.
Steel book, it's called, I should say. And lastly, we mentioned Atonement. James McAvoy, Keira Knightley, Academy Award nominations out the wazoo. We mentioned it because included with it is the novelization of the book that the film is based on, I should say. And what we want to know from you guys is, what other books out there, what other novels or books or graphic novels have been made into films that you think should maybe have included the graphic novel with the film? We mentioned a few. We want to know what you think. Go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and check that out.
And I'm saying this right here and now. Spontaneous. First person to email us with a graphic novel that we didn't mention on the show that would go great with the release of the film. Getting a QMX prize.
QMX prize. Oh, yeah, that's prize. Right. We're still giving out the QMX prizes.
There you go.
There you go. What else?
We also talked about Paramount adapting Dune. Again. Yeah, hopefully this time, or speculatively this time, maybe they're looking to launch a franchise. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that Dune. Such an interesting series of books.
Yes.
Such an interesting life.
Yes.
In film and television.
Yes, it has.
We also talked about 24. There's going to be a two-hour prequel coming this summer. This is a two-hour storyline bridging season 6 and 7. Season 7 coming in January of 2009.
And in our second segment tonight, we played our little snippet of an interview with one Bruce Campbell, His Majesty, deigned an audience from us, from me particularly, for about 2.5 minutes. And we want to thank Dave down at Monster Mania for helping us set that up. And so exciting to be in the King's presence. And MonsterMania.net, if you want to attend great, great shows, Monster Mania is certainly one that you can check out. And so thanks again for that. And thanks again to His Majesty for allowing us a few minutes of his time.
That's right. In segment 3 of tonight's show, we talked about Tonner, a couple of products in particular, two figures from the DC Stars line from Tonner. One would be Batman, a very nice new sculpt.
Right.
Definitely worth checking out.
Interesting interpretation.
Interesting interpretation.
We say Silver Age, plus and minus some things, as well as Harleen Quinzel, Harley Quinn. Also, plus and minus, well, plus some things there that we were interested in their Tonner's interpretation there. Great pieces. You are a DC fan of either of these characters, and who isn't a Batman fan, you should definitely consider getting these. As well as from their Harry Potter line, Fox.
Right. Dumbledore's Phoenix.
Dumbledore's Phoenix with the feather head, which I thought was a very cool addition. He's one of the accessories that makes their Harry Potter line so great. You can check all this stuff out at
TonnerInc.com.
We think.
No, we know.
Are we sure now?
We are.
We have this Google Tonner. There's tons of Tonner. I don't even know. It's like 85 things that point to Tonner.
Tonner Inc. is the one that they need to know.
And in segment 4, we wrapped up the show.
Oh, right. Right.
And that would be this.
Right. And I think we have one other contest to announce, don't we? For a pair of tickets to New York Comic Con.
Yes.
This is going to be what I want to call the hardest question we've ever asked on this show.
Because last week's question, of course, what does the initials OG stand for?
We stumped them.
OG. We didn't stump them, sir. We proved a point. But The point,
no
moreover,
one cares about me. That
is,
was the point.
No, sir. Is that our audience is very funny, I think, was the point
the
we were trying to prove.
Is very, very funny.
And I think we definitely proved that point.
We did.
And thank you to Anthony from Long Island with his winning answer, Original Geekster.
That's right. For going above and beyond with his photoshopped companion, which will be on the website shortly.
Yes. And this week's question, OG,
what is Big Kev's favorite supervillain?
That's it. What is Big Kev's favorite supervillain? First person to provide the correct answer will receive a pair of tickets to New York Comic Con Extravaganza. Go to New York Comic Con to check that out. And yeah, there it is.
Don't forget, you can check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Geek Stuff in the podcast section of the iTunes store. And, you know, drop us a line. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you like about the show, hate about the show.
Did you tell them to go leave a review at Apple?
I'm tired of telling those bastards.
Leave a review on Apple. It's important. Dig us and do all the rest of those things that you do to us.
That sounds dirty.
Yes.
Let's take a break. Oh, no, wait. Let's wrap it
up. We're not having a break anymore.
Let's go home.
The break is kind of broken.
Listen, I put a man back on the streets today. I gave him his freedom.
I hope you need a meal. I hope you sleep well.
I hope I sleep well, too.
Career criminal back out on the street.
I hope I don't see his name in the papers anytime soon.
Fantastic. Do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 96, Ludo?
Are they really making limited edition apple and caramel sun chips now?
Come on!
And on that note, we cue the music.
Love me cancerously, like a salt sore soaked in the sea. High maintenance means you're a gluttonous queen, narcissistic and mean.
And sex.